Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks, and welcome to Radio for Your Mind. Troy Dooley here, and it has been a wild and crazy week, but I tell you what, I am so excited. Today, my baby girl, 15 years old, she turns 15 today. I think back last night, I was sitting there out by the pool, and I'm thinking, wow, it's been 15 years since this little beautiful gal came into my life. I can tell you, 15 years ago, I was actually running a private, semi-private country club in Kansas City, Missouri. I had was in the middle of watching the closure of World Marketing Alliance as it was being sold. My 16-year-old was just finishing up, coming out of a pediatric kidney surgery. And I look back today. I was sitting in a board meeting when my wife called and said, honey, it's time. And it's a beautiful thing. We're gonna invest some quality time in a little bit and just have a fun day with her. But what a gorgeous thing when you can think back to the time with your children, when you can think back and see and know what you've gone through. And that's what excites me today. A few live listeners, man, I tell you what, ever since we started doing these new series like this in 2011, the switchboard has been full. The live listeners on the net have been full, and the archive downloads are surpassing now. We're getting upwards into 300, 400, 500. I just want to say thank you. That's very humbling to me, so it's exciting. If you're going to be around, let me share with you my travel schedule. Next week, I will be in Vegas at the Association of Network Marketing Professionals annual conference. I'll be a panelist talking about the ins and outs of the direct selling industry. I'm looking forward to that. On April 14th through the 17th, I'll be at Orlando at the Real Savvy Success Conference. It's a 2011 Female Leaders Conference for Direct Selling. You do not want to miss this. Men, especially, you should be there. It's going to be phenomenal. In the last week of April, I'll be in Dallas at the Awards Banquet and Success University for the top 100 direct selling companies in the world. It is going to be a great time. Busy schedule. Any of you want to connect with me, send me an email offline. Today, chat question number 4, what are our results? Now, we've got some underlying questions here, just like always, that we have to look at, that we have to discuss. How do we define results? This is going to be a key point if you're going to be building. I don't care what type of business you're building. You know, when I get, probably end of May, 1st of June, I'm going to launch a new business. I've been planning this for about a year and a half. It has nothing to do with direct selling or takes me away from Ignite or any of that stuff. I'm going to go into really pushing some woodworking projects that I wanted to do. I make wooden pins, so I'm excited about that. I'm going to know what my results are. Second question is, are we successful? Well, you got to know what that means within your organization. How should we define results? Well, in my case with woodworking, I'm going to know the results based on the finished product and if they sell. Now, here's the real important question. What must we strengthen or abandon? That's the tough one right there, but that's what we're going to be getting into. When Peter Drucker wrote this book, he was trying to help nonprofit organizations, and I had an offline message the other day. A person said, Troy, we don't understand why you're talking about social companies or organizations. You're talking about nonprofits when we're all in business for ourselves. We're all trying to be entrepreneurs. So I made it clear, the majority of the people that listen to our show are direct sellers. They are independent contractors marketing a product or a service for one or more companies. This includes manufactured reps. It includes software salesmen, pharmaceutical reps. I mean, I'm not just talking about network marketing, MLM type stuff. Well, any time that you are building an organization, any time you are in sales, any time you're in business for yourself, then you truly are running a nonprofit volunteer organization. If you don't get up in the mornings, you don't get paid. You don't make a sale, you don't get paid. So this really is all about the same thing. Peter writes this, the results of the social sector organizations are always measured outside the organization in changed lives and changed conditions. Well, hello, folks. What is it we're always talking about? We're talking about adding value to people's lives. We're talking about being able to go out there and change people's lives financially, change their lifestyle, simplify their life, secure their lifestyle. We've heard it in so many different ways. So the question that we must ask ourselves is, are we not trying to do the same thing? We are in the people business. Anytime that you are in the people business, then there's no way around listening to what Peter's saying here. It's so important. So let's look at the short-term accomplishments and look at what we need to change long-term. So you can look at your short-term accomplishments and say, okay, we're putting some stuff in place. But then you've got to look at your long-term accomplishments. My princess, my wife, my beautiful lady, last night we were in a long, long, long email chat. It had to do with her latest book. And in her latest book, she's talking about a teen pregnancy crisis center where teen girls are coming in, taking jobs, doing their thing, going through the emotions of, am I worthless? Am I worth something? I looked at this, and today when I was reading this, I thought, is that not the most beautiful analogy that I can use, is a pregnancy center? See, if you look at your short-term accomplishments, you're able to take these young ladies and give them some alternatives to just thinking, oh my gosh, I've screwed up my life. You can share with them the beauty of being pregnant, the beauty of having a child. You can share with them the adoption factor. You can answer their questions about abortion. All this stuff that's going through their head that they may not feel comfortable talking to their mom about, especially their dad. So as you help these girls, you're able to see some of the results if we're looking at it in that direction. If they go on to be successful young ladies, they don't go out there and get pregnant again over and over and over, then you know you've accomplished something long term. But in a crisis pregnancy situation, if the same girls keep coming in and the same girls going and getting pregnant, then you realize that you're going to have to make some long-term changes. You're going to have to say no, because now you realize that she's just taking the handouts. She's not looking for a hand up. And you say, well, Troy, okay, but now bring this to my business. What am I looking at? Well, there's a lot of people out there that are what I call junkies. They want to get into the business, but then they don't do anything with the business. They show up at all of the trainings, they talk the talk, but at the end of the day, they never bring anybody into their business. They're always in the planning stages of the business. That's what excites them and motivates them. Sooner or later, you've got to say, I just cannot talk to you. I have to invest my time with those that are actually doing something. That's a tough call, but that's what has to be done. I would write this down if I was you, because I think this could be the basis of you starting your own mission statement if you haven't done so already. You can have a mission statement that says, I want to enable people with serious and persistent success in their own lives. Or maybe it would go along the lines of, I want to enable people with a serious and persistent lifestyle change. See, as I look at this, it all goes back to that original thing. What's our mission? If we don't know our mission, we cannot know our results. Listen to this. Peter writes, whether or not members of the healing community did recover, whether their lives or primarily customers changed in this fundamental way, we know that the organization's single bottom line is to help change those people's lives. We know that because we talked about it in the very beginning. See, this is what it is right here. Every organization, nonprofit or profit, must know what their mission is. Every individual distributor in the field, every individual businessman or woman must know. I'm going to use Mary Kay as an example. Mary Kay's mission is not to sell cosmetics. Mary Kay's mission is to empower women. My friend Tommy Chenault had a lady, Mary Kay rep, on her show, his show the other day. And she shared a story about one of her gals that when she first started coming, looked a little ragged, didn't wear a lot of makeup, kind of had slumped shoulders. This is the fun part. The more that she started coming around the other ladies, the more she got excited, the more that she had training to put on the makeup and was looking at herself in the mirror, the more empowered she got. See, this is what it is at the end of the day, folks. It's about empowerment. In business, we can debate whether profit is really the adequate measuring stick. But I can tell you this, without the profits, we know there is no business long term. So you've got to look at what do we need to do in the short term? What is it that we're looking at? What are the short-term accomplishments that is going to provide us long-term profits? And if you're in direct selling, those long-term profits mean lower debt in your household, kids going to school, you and your wife having health insurance, paying off the debt. That's what we're looking at. But your results must be qualitative and quantitative. It's the only way to make it happen. Excuse me, Peter writes this. Progress and achievement can be appraised in qualitative and quantitative terms. These two types of measures are interwoven and they shed light on one another, and both are necessities, are necessary to illuminate in what ways and what extent lives are being changed. That's a plus. Listen, qualitative measures address the depth and breadth of change within a particular context. Are the people that we're surrounding ourselves with, are they coming up financially? Are they coming up mentally, physically, spiritually, whatever the case is? I'm sitting here right now. I'm going through my second company's weight loss program. The first company I did was Visalus. Now I'm doing this Synergy. Well, guess what? I can tell my results. If I take the product as it's directed, then I start to lose weight. If I cheat, I don't lose weight. This is one an analogy that you can look at, that you can see, okay, what are the qualitative measures? I'm feeling healthier. I'm feeling better. I'm working out more. I'm going for walks. I'm taking my shakes. I'm eating a better meal, et cetera, et cetera. But what about quantitative? See, quantitative measures use definitive standards. They begin with categories and expectations and tell an objective story. Prime example, if you do exactly what we say on whatever this is, the Core 4 Lean drink, you will lose X amount of pounds a week. The Biggest Loser that we did at our church, if you exercised, if you ate right, if you did what they said, then you would lose a certain amount of weight. Qualitative and quantitative. Now, here's what goes south sometimes is the measuring process. See, if I was taking this weight loss and I expected to lose 25 pounds in the first week, it isn't going to happen. But if I take this right, I do a 60, 90, 100-day challenge, whatever each company does, I add in there the exercise. I add in there the right eating habits. I get enough sleep. And now all of a sudden, everything starts to line up. The quantitative measurements are there too. See, this is what we're all after. Quantitative measurements are essential for assessing whether resources are properly concentrated for results and whether the progress is being made, whether lives are... and communities are changing for the better, et cetera, et cetera. If we don't do this, then we won't make it. But what we must do is we cannot set too short of a time period for the results. Now, I believe that 90-day and 6-month periods, we can look at those, we can see what's happening, see what's going on, see where the focus is. We move it to the next level. But we're in the people business. We cannot control, nor can we demand what people do. I mean, we can demand what people do, but that doesn't mean it's going to happen. That doesn't mean it's going to get done. You must assess what must be strengthened or abandoned. Last few years, there's been some direct selling companies that have abandoned their network marketing or MLM compensation model. They're still direct selling companies, but they've gone more to an affiliate type of situation where they're only paying a couple levels down. They're paying more on retail. We've had some people that have gotten very frustrated, me personally for one. But these companies had to assess their strengths. In one case, I'll use it, a good friend of mine that has become a pretty good friend, Sandy Greenberg. In his case, up at Accelerate, he had to weigh everything out. As a publicly traded company, he looked at everything, saw what was going on. He knew their strength was in their products. Their products were going through the roof. It was phenomenal. They were having great success. But he saw the weakness was in the actual marketing model. It just wasn't working the way they had anticipated it, and they were putting more money into it than what they told the board of directors. So what they ended up doing was they abandoned it and came out with something different. Right, wrong, or indifferent, it's the way they did it. Peter writes this: one of the most important questions leaders must ask is, do we produce results that are significantly outstanding for us to justify putting our resources in this area? I believe every business should ask it. Right now, I go through that daily almost with Anthony Crono, the COO of Ignite 360. Constantly we're saying, okay, do we produce results that are significantly outstanding for us to justify putting our resources in this area? Now, we're a startup brand compared to our 10-year-old brand, Faith Highway, so we're putting a lot more effort into this right now than we're seeing profits. That's just the way it is in a startup. But the question is, how long do you go about it? How long are you willing to put resources in it before you move, before you do something else? This is the question every business, this is the question you must ask. If you're in a company and you're building that company and you've got great success and things are going forward, then you can see your results. You can see the results of people that are succeeding, people that are growing, people that are excited. It's all working. It's a nonstop 24/7 job, but you love it. But if you're not growing, if your team's not making money, if the company is making some changes that maybe you don't know if that's wise, then you've got to ask yourself, is it time for me to abandon this? See, it's funny because I don't have a problem with people abandoning a network marketing or direct selling company, adding a product or a service, eliminating a product or a service. That's pretty typical. The frustration comes from when you do that over and over and over and you do it so fast, you never give your chance time to win. You never give your people time to win. You got to look at justifying putting your resources in an area if you're growing, if you're not. Need alone does not justify continuing. Just because there's a need for it doesn't mean that you continue with it. There's other people that's probably better than what you are. Just because it's tradition doesn't mean that you do it. I had a guy earlier yesterday I did a blog post and a video on a situation and it had to do with backdoor deals. And I said, instead of just putting them in the back, put them out front. Just let them, just share with what's going on, what's happening. It's only right. Why wouldn't you disclose it? Those are my comments. And one guy said, oh, Troy, it's just the way business is done today. Well, in this case, it was a broken agreement. And actually, a deal had been done, and the agreement had been broken. It was a 12-month agreement. So I wrote back, and I said, I guess in that case, your word's not worth anything. If divorce is at 50% in the regular lifestyle of Americans, then I guess in business divorce should be at 50% or higher too. See, this is where we're at here. We either strengthen it or we abandon it. And just because this is what the status quo is, doesn't mean that we hang on to it. We have to look at the results. We have to know, what are our results? How are we defining our results? Are we successful? How should we define the results? And what must we strengthen or abandon? See, this is the key here. to abandon anything. I've seen this in churches. I've seen it in nonprofits. I've seen it in business. To abandon anything is always bitterly resisted. People in an organization are always attached to the obsolete, the things that should have worked but did not, the things that once were productive and no longer are. I mean, think about this. If you'd have hung on to your turntable, your reel-to-reel, your 8-track player, your Beta, where would you be today? You wouldn't be sitting there with an iPad or an iPod or an iPhone or a CD player or a DVD player, no, would you? You sure wouldn't have a Blu-ray. What about if you still wanted that old black and white tube TV? There's some things you just got to let go of. You got to let them go. You got to move forward. You got to say, this is what we're going to do today. I'm doing some new training that we're writing up that we'll have out in about 3 or 4 weeks on social media, showing what was and what is and where it's going to go. It's crazy, but it's amazing for me, the people that want to hang on to the past. At the end of the day, it all revolves around us. As leaders, we have to be held accountable. There is a time to face the facts that the organization as a whole is not performing, that there are weak results everywhere, little prosperity, little improving, and it may be time to merge or liquidate and put your energy somewhere else. And in some performance areas, whether to strengthen or abandon is not where it's not clear whether you need to strengthen or abandon, you will need to systematically analyze to see what are we going to do. You cannot just stand back. You cannot let it go. You cannot, you know, put your head in the ground as my baby girls do. You can't just close your eyes and think I'm not going to see you. It just doesn't work that way. The mission defines the scope of your responsibility. Leadership is accountable to determine what must be appraised and judged to protect the organization from squandering resources and to ensure meaningful results. It's the only way to make it. Judith Rodin does the follow-up on here. What are our results? She asks this question. What are the prerequisites for our success? This is the question we must ask. How do our partners and beneficiaries experience our work? What are our qualitatives as well as our quantitative goals? And how do we define our results? This is the big one. Listen to what she says. Do we have the courage to admit failure and let others learn from our mistakes? That's huge right there. See, the discussion anymore about evaluating everything is no longer whether it's worthwhile. We all know that it is. Now it's whether or not the quantitative measurements alone are significant. See, and they're not, because although John Addison, one of my heroes, says the numbers never lie, the numbers are always followed. The quantitative numbers always follow the qualitative results. You hire in more people, you recruit more people, you sponsor more people. All this good stuff. You bring the people in first, you fill the pipeline. As the pipeline starts to spit stuff out, it's like an extruder in a donut shop. Then the quantitative results start. But if you can't get the people, you got to get the people in the pipeline first. Man, I work on this every day at every level. I'm passionate about it. And at the end of the day, I'll see one plop down and we'll start working with them. A few days later, maybe another one, we start working with them. It takes time. And eventually, you start to really crank them out. You start to really get it cooking. This is what we all must look at. Results are the key to our survival. If the results are our goal, they must also be the test. That's the key. If you're in the people business, the ultimate test is, have we been able to improve the lives of others? That's the key. Can we improve the lives of others? If we are, we're on the right path. If we can't, we need to make some changes. That's just the nature of the beast. Guys, I love having these shows. I love helping out people. Tomorrow, question number 5, what is our plan? It's going to be fun. Live life like it's an epic adventure. I'll see you at the top. Be back here tomorrow morning with me, Radio for Your Mind. Bye now.